Welcome back to Jump Scare. I'm Betty B. Dudley.
And I'm Shad Youngblood.
And today we'll be going over 1981's The Hand.
You think I've done something wrong, don't you?
Terror he could not forget.
You think there's something in there, don't you?
Torment he could not bear.
You want to see?
Truth he would not face.
Hey! Take a look!
Orion Pictures presents Michael Caine in The Hand.
You don't want me to go to New York with you, do you?
I'm not talking about a separation or anything permanent or anything like that. I thought you understood that. I thought that was why you said
well,
that I could...
Well, we obviously do not understand each other. Look out!
Ah!
Get back!
How does it feel?
Like they're still there. My fingers. I've been moving.
You'll have phantom feelings for years. Heat, irritation, pain. Your memory is still feeding familiar sensations of having a hand along your nerve endings.
What have you been doing during these blackouts?
Misplacing things.
I'd be scared if I were you.
Did you see my signet ring?
No. Are you all right?
Oh, yes.
You never know what you can do. The unconscious is capable of anything. You could do anything you ever dreamed of and never had the guts to do.
I like the way you look at me.
Blackouts are nothing to fool with. You could kill somebody. It's all up there, and you'll never know.
Know what?
Who you are.
Don't be afraid of the pain. Tell them what you're feeling.
You're trying to kill me, aren't you?
Sense it, feel it, touch it.
You want to destroy me?
What is your image?
A man trapped in a nightmare. Locked in the grasp of
land.
Oh, John.
John?
John?
What's the matter? Why are you looking at me like that?
There's no hand.
Michael Caine in The Hand.
Starring Sir Michael Caine.
Yep.
Michael Caine.
Yeah, that's exactly how you say it. You nailed it. And written and directed by Oliver Stone.
Yes.
Back before he was obsessed with conspiracies.
So yeah, he adapted as an adaptation from a novel by Mark Brando called The Lizard's Tale. And it's a psychological suspense horror, novel made into a movie. And I have very fond memories of this movie. Funny story, we were supposed to cover this movie in last week's episode, but I bought a copy from Barnes & Noble about 8 years ago, but I never opened it. I have a lot of movies like that, where I buy them and then I just never watch them. And we popped it in, you know, unwrapped it, the whole shebang, and we watched 48 minutes of it, and then it did not want to move any further. It fucking died. It was a defective copy, which... Barnes & Noble, you owe me about $5.
Yeah, it was very frustrating. It's like, oh, we'll just skip over this scene. No, you won't. Which, first of all, I feel like the disc was kind of shitty in the first place because it had no chapter selections, no subtitle options, nothing. It's just like, play the damn movie. That was your option.
Now, when this was released, I believe it was 2007 when it made it to DVD. I don't know if it's the first time. I think it was the first time. Beggars can't fucking be choosers, okay? I bought it, and I was like, I just want the movie. I don't care about any of the other stuff. And in the end, I got screwed anyways, because I got screwed out of the fucking movie. Now I don't even own the movie, which blows. We had to rent it from Amazon Prime. And let me just say that Barnes & Noble, for those of you who do not know, is the one of the large and actually only standing... Oh, no, there's Books A Million. But in reality, there's only just really Barnes & Noble book store in our area and the United States, if you happen to be listening overseas and are not aware of what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, so that was a bummer. So we couldn't watch it last week, or the week that we were going to, because, you know, that was the week all of our internet was dead, and Sprint and Spectrum both screwed us.
We got royally effed a whole bunch of different ways within during the last week. Yeah. Couple of weeks.
So we got it off of Amazon, finally, and sat down and were able to, you know, watch it again and finish it this time. And there's things to say about this movie.
Yes, there is. Let's just say that it costs $2.99 to rent the movie. Which only lasts for 48 hours. So essentially, I mean, I guess I still haven't paid like $10 for the film, even though technically I still don't own it because I'm only going to own it until like tomorrow. But the film in itself is, like I said, I have fond memories of it. I saw it when I was much younger and I really enjoyed it. And it always stayed with me. It was a movie that I really, you know, I just liked. It's a classic tale and it had been done, no pun intended. And, you know, the whole severed hand thing. I mean, I didn't give anything away. The movie's called The Hand. Coming back for, you know, revenge on other things. It's a, I was going to say a classic tale. Classic tale.
Oh, gotta get it, the Lizard's Tale. But I gotta say, this has one of the best, like, accidents I've seen staged in a movie on how he loses the hand. It's in a car accident, and it's not the way I expected it was going to be. I really thought they were just going to roll off the road, and, you know, he's going to lose the hand. Because he's got his hand sticking out of the window, so I thought, oh, he's getting that clipped off by the car. Nope, it's much more creative than that. And it looks very gruesome and very... It you really feel for it when he loses that hand. You're like, oh, shit, that's gotta hurt.
Everyone's performance in the movie is fantastic. You fucking want to slap the wife, even though she does get slapped around. It's not right. But she gets, you know, slapped around by Michael Caine. And, I mean, everyone does just a great job of really pulling their role off. Oliver Stone, you know... is just an amazing director, and everything is like airtight, and that scene really grabs you. Like, you're like, oh my god. I mean, there's shock. I mean, it's like if it fucking really happened.
Yeah, everybody kind of reacts like you would if that happened. Nobody would know exactly what to do if you just see someone's fucking hand get ripped off in front of you. You would just freak the fuck out.
I love where the wife is just getting like blood splatter, like pss, 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 yeah, all in her face, and she's like, oh, trying to like shield her face from like her husband's blood that's just fucking shooting out of his damn arm. It's pretty fucking rad. It's a pretty good effect, I have to say. You know, there's some character development in the beginning of the film where you know right off the bat their relationship, the husband and wife's relationship, is strained, and how it's, you know, during a time frame where you are a stay-at-home mom, you're living off your husband's, you know, your husband happens to have some kind of wealth, you know, and you're living off of that, and whatever he says goes. Like, dinner ready at the table by X amount of time, the whole house done. Maybe you have your little, you know, gatherings, book clubs or whatever that you little, you know, you do. You're part of like an art society, depending on.
It was a Tupperware party. It was the late 70s, early 80s. It was a Tupperware party.
Fine, Tupperware party.
Which was code for like a sex toy party, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my
gosh. You opened the Tupperware and there was your toy inside it.
Well, her shtick was that she was, you know, into the metaphysical and, like, the yoga. And, you know, that's when everything, all that kind of, like, started blowing up over here stateside. And she's all into it, you know, eating healthy and raw and all that shebang.
And he is a cartoonist who's famous for doing a cartoon strip in the paper called Mandro.
Mandro.
Which Mandro is obviously Conan, and it's drawn by, the strips in the movie are drawn by Barry Windsor Smith, who actually drew the Conan comic for quite a few years. Which is also funny because Oliver Stone co-wrote the Conan movie, So you gotta wonder if he was in watching that, you know, he's in this going, I like those comics. Maybe I should do something with that.
Maybe. Then maybe that's one of in, like, John Favreau, he loved Iron Man, you know, and he went to direct Iron Man. So maybe it's just one of those things you're like, oh, you know, this is what I need to do. This is my passion. But at this moment, Michael Caine doesn't have a hand now. And how can he be a cartoonist with no fucking hand? And his hand was nowhere to be found. The wife went looking. First of all, she should have been looking, because I'm the last person to be like, women are terrible drivers. But it is her fucking fault, okay? They're, like I said, relationship already is, like, estranged.
Yeah, they're having an argument when this happened. She's telling him, basically, I don't want to live here anymore. I want to move to another city and...
Without you.
Maybe we should just take a break.
A break, yeah. Oh, let's take a break. She pulled a fucking Ross on her.
Yeah, we need a break.
Friends style.
And then, you know, while they have the argument, that's when the car accident happens where he loses his hand. So like you were saying, yeah, she's out there looking for the hand later on, still covered in blood.
Yep.
I mean, she didn't bother to clean up. She just went out there and started, you know, the stick whacking the bushes looking for that hand, which they don't find.
They do not find the hand. And... there's the movie's a little, I want to say it's a little long, to be fair. We did see 48 minutes of it, you know, like 2 weeks ago, and then we continue the rest today. So it's like I've seen the movie several times because we had to like backtrack a little bit. So it may, my memory of it might be a little askew, but I feel like it could have been a little shorter in the beginning with like the whole like stress of the marriage and just their whole interaction could have been just maybe 15 minutes less of them and more of him dealing with losing his hand and his hand like coming to life.
Yeah, well, this was in the age of a lot of those, like, you know, horror movies like this where sometimes nothing would happen until the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So it was coming from that era of horror movies, you know.
What is your favorite scene in the film?
There's a few of them. I especially love it. He eventually takes a job away from the wife because she gets her way. They get their break. And he's out in the mountains of California teaching art at a college. And he has a student out there who just comes over to the house. And it's like, oh, hey, I just thought I would come by your house there, professor. Oh, did my shirt just fall off and I'm not wearing a bra?
I like how that's the first moment you go to, even though when the shirt did fall off, you're like, eh.
But, you know, then he's like, yes. Yeah. What was her line? I only like to do it in a bed. Is that okay? Michael Caine's like, yes. Yes, it is.
And that's Sir Michael Caine.
And he's like, you will call me Sir One-handed professor.
Oh, yeah, because he has... I'm sorry. Did we just skip over the fact that now he has, like, a T2 hand? Like...
Yeah, they gave him, like, a metal hand that's, like, somehow magically controlled with a series of, like, ropes and pulleys inside of, like, a sling he's wearing that seems to be able to do a lot of things.
Yeah, that's a magical fucking sling, and but it was created by the top scientist at whatever college he happened to be at.
Which, by the way, was played by the guy who did the voice of Roger Rabbit. So I'm not sure. I think his like hand creating skills might be suspect. But yeah, he immediately hops into bed with her, and she's all about it. She's like, nope, I'm not. Just give it to me. I don't want any of this gentle stuff.
No, I don't want the gentle stuff, and you can just wave your weird, like, hand all over my face while you what's wearing it. The hand looks like it just came out of a fucking, like, James Bond movie. It's like Dr. No, like, no hand. It's Dr. No hand.
He's got the black glove on that's just like, ah, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Yes.
So, yeah, but she's all about it. She's like, no, leave the hand on.
Leave the hand.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty crazy scene.
You're like, that's my favorite scene.
That's one of them.
I like the obviously scene where he loses the hand, and you know, the movie does a good job of, is this in his head? is the hand actually, you know, going around vengefully killing people that he's mad at? When does the hand take over? And, you know, Oliver Stone does his, like, color into black and white. So whenever you see the movie in black and white, which is very subtle to the point where you're like, did the movie just change color? Like, because it's not...
Yeah, because he was, like, walking at night, and it just kind of slowly faded from color into black and white. It took you a second to realize it just went black and white.
Yeah, and are those dream sequences... And you kind of do notice, I mean, one of them is an obvious sequence of he's losing time. Like, he knows that he's losing time. He can't remember things. And he's having, you know, he's having blackouts, essentially. And he's been very vocal with another teacher that's teaching there. And there's kind of like, he finds out from the student that, you know, goes over Mrs. Shirtless that this teacher's been trying to fuck her for, like, the longest time, but she won't give him, like, the satisfaction. So she's decided to have sex with Michael Caine. And it doesn't end well for her. Spoiler alert.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. And I don't think... You never really get true clarity on whether he was all talk or she really meant to, like, go on Christmas with him. But...
Yeah, because at one point you reveal that, like, she casually says to Michael Caine she's going to L.A. with friends. And, or she's going with L.A., she says, like, acquaintances or something. And then the other teacher says the same thing. Oh, I'm going to L.A. with a friend.
Yeah, with friends. Like, friends, you know, like, oh, they're not friends. But she's heartbroken. That there's a scene where she's completely, it's Christmas, he gave her lingerie. I'm like... You're treating her like a whore. Essentially, she is the mistress, so what did she expect? He's not leaving his wife for her, even though he suspects his own wife is fucking the yoga master
over there. Oh, there's no way she was not fucking that guy. Come on.
Yeah, there's a scene where he goes over to, like, look at, like, right after his accident. He's, like, real clingy, and he's, like, has nothing to do because he loses his comic. He loses the ability to obviously draw, and he loses his comic strip. And that kind of sucks, but he's now going over watching the wife, and the wife is getting all canoodling with the main, you know, yoga instructor, and he's like, oh, they're fucking. Like, that's
what's happening. He's being paranoid, but no, that he was right.
Yeah, he was right. He wasn't being paranoid. He was right on the money. And do you think that the people in the film get theirs, or do you think that it's an unfair... And did it really happen? I mean, yeah, they died, but did the hand do it? Then that's where you leave off with the movie. You leave off thinking, this is a psychological, like, thriller. Is it the hand that's really coming to life and murdering these people? Or is it Michael Caine? Because they do show you both. They do show Michael Caine doing it when he's had a psychotic break. But then they've also showed, like, the hand was doing it.
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, like... You saw, like, at the beginning, he was having, like, flashes or dreams of the hand, like, doing it to, like, killing people. But none of those people actually died. It wasn't until later when they all came out that things went on. So, I think it was him doing it and just having fantasies about the hand. Like, he kind of disassociated a little bit. Was like, oh, it's the hand doing it, not me.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is, like, 1981, so... It's technically still the 70s, late 70s, you know. And in a man's mind, like, he lost his bread and butter. He can no longer do what he loves. His young wife is going to take his daughter away and, you know, is fucking someone else. Well, he's paying for this, by the way. He paid for her to have this class. It's not like she had her own money and paid for this. He paid for her to have these yoga classes. There she is canoodling with the dude, like... He's lost everything, so he just freaking breaks. Like, he just can't handle it. It was, like, the straw on the camel's back, and he's just now on a murderous rampage. But, if you believe that, I think the hand did it. It was the hand!
The old hand did it.
It was a good old hand. They never found the hand, though. Where did the fucking hand go? If the hand's not alive, going around randomly killing, well, not randomly killing, but killing people that he's mad at, where's the hand?
Well, some squirrel probably ate that shit.
Okay, it's a big-ass hand. At least, you don't think they would have found, like, what about the bones? They would have found bones, at least.
If, like, a coyote or something carried it off.
Oh, so now it's a squirrel and a coyote. It's now literally a fucking cartoon.
It was a squirrel riding on the coyote. They rode up, and he was like, whoa, there, Wiley. Ah, I see a fine hand for dinner right down there. We'll fry that up and have human fingers tonight.
No, this is not a Looney Tunes episode. This has not happened. There was no fucking coyote. There was no squirrel, like, jumping in the air, like, while he's riding on the back. None of that happened. The hand is roaming around California, and it's up in the mountains murdering people. And, you know, the reveal of the people in the trunk, because he has a car, the bodies are nowhere to be found. He has these flashes, like something happened to these people that he sees the hand do, but there's no evidence anywhere. And in the last frame, the last, like, couple of minutes of the movie, the cops, like, show up at the house because there's, like, a whole, like, he, like, beat his wife, and the daughter calls. He asked the daughter to call 911. They arrive. The reveal is like, oh, open the trunk to your car, after a whole bunch of wishy-washy, because he's like adamant there's nothing in there. And that's where he's like, oh shit, when he opens that trunk, that is the largest trunk in the fucking world where it can hold a fucking man. Okay, he was not a thin man. That was a pretty hefty dude.
He was a big chunky dude. He was at least 6 feet tall and probably 200 plus pounds.
And the girl, who looks like a really young PJ Souls, and it's not PJ Souls, they're both in there, like, laying. Their legs are not all, like, bundled up, or they're
kind of stretched out in the trunk.
They're stretched out like they're just taking a nap.
And there was room left over. There could have been more bodies in that trunk.
So many more bodies. That was a big fucking trunk. I mean, I know they used to make trunks a little larger than you do now, because there was a lot of people locked in trunks.
To be fair, that car was huge.
That car was huge. It was a big fucking car. I don't know what kind of car it is, because I'm not a car person, but it was a big car.
Yeah, it was it looked like a boat. Like, you could sail that shit out in pirate ships with it.
Well, it was made for taking bodies in that were actually dead. The people were actually dead, because I said earlier, like, were they dead? They were dead.
Yeah, they were dead.
I don't like the ending. I don't like that whole, like, Dr. Roof, like, doctor, because I know that was, like, really hot, where you have a foreign and a little old lady walking around
talking about psychology to him, and then, oh, is the hand back? Is it killing her?
What? Is it in the vent? Do I see the hand in the vent?
Or did he kill her and he's just not really seeing it? Yeah, he's a very unreliable narrator, so you can't really trust. You're kind of all seeing this from Michael Caine's point of view, but he's crazy, so.
And if you didn't know how crazy it is, I think you can show the levels of craziness through his hairstyles. He's like a refined man, his hair's combed, whatever, but when he's crazy Michael Caine, he has like freaking Krusty the Clown hair.
He has the, like, I just licked the light socket hair. Which, yeah, he's got some craziness going on in there. But I was in the 70s, too. That was when it was like, oh, I got my hair cut this year. I'm good.
You know, for the nostalgia factor and just Oliver Stone being Oliver Stone, the movie's pretty airtight. You know, the scenes are great. The concept. It is, I mean, one, I could understand why one might think it's a little hokey, because he's like, you know, at one point in the end, he's like fighting his own hand, and that's like the whole Chucky thing. Like, why don't you just punt it? You know, what's the big deal kind of thing? But, you know, I give it 3.5 stars.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, knives.
I would agree with that as well. And I thought there was a lot of it in there. I got to wonder how much of this inspired, like, Ash's fight with his hand in the Evil Dead 2.
Oh, yeah, because we forgot to mention the cabin that he's staying in is very Evil Dead 2. And then the fight happens in, like, the shed.
Yeah, work shed. They said other thing.
What was it? Where was it at?
Work shed. Don't you remember Bruce? At one of the conventions I saw Bruce Campbell at, he said, because they had to like ADR that, and it was very obviously like they had just dubbed that in. So when he met Kurt Russell, the first thing Kurt Russell said to him was, "Say work shed for me."
That's pretty fucking magical.
But yeah, so yeah, I'd agree. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent movie. You know, it's early 80s, Michael Caine. No one wanted to be the lead to this movie. Yeah, so everybody turned
it down. Yeah, like Christopher Walken turned it down, which I could really see Christopher Walken in this.
Christopher Walken, I mean, that would be a whole other fucking movie. Except for
the beginning, you would have been like, well, Christopher Walken's nuts and he's obviously doing it. Yeah. You would
have never believed it. Yes, there was no fucking way that movie. That's, it's probably actually really good that he didn't get to do the movie, because it was just like, he crazy, he did it.
Yeah, it's like when you see Brad Dourif show up in a movie and you go, oh, well, I know who the murderer is.
Yeah.
Even the episode of Star Trek Voyager where Brad Dourif showed up, you're like, well, he did it. He was the killer. The only episode of Star Trek ever that was a murder show, Brad Dourif was in it. So it's like immediately you see Brad Dourif, you know he's the killer.
Wow. That's insane. I need to see this episode ASAP. I don't think I've seen it.
It's great. It's really the only episode of Voyager that I like.
Yeah, that's why I haven't seen it, because it's Voyager. That's the one with the lady captain? Mm-hmm. No. Negative. The fake Captain Kirk. Anyways.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on this journey with Michael Caine and The Hand. And we'll see you back here next week. Stay tuned to the horror.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.